Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the sixth Sunday of Easter, Year C. We're still plugging away with John, Acts, and the Revelation, pushing toward the glorious end that began with the resurrection. The love, power, and majesty of God are on full display. Join us as we explore the possibilities.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary using various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's go get started. Our first lesson for Year C, Easter 6, is from Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. It starts out with Paul having a vision, seeing a man from Macedonia pleading with him to come help us. So when he sees the vision, he gets up and they make the trip to Macedonia. Verses 11 through 12 are a travelogue of how they got there. And then starting at verse 13, it's the story of how Paul and his traveling companions encountered a woman, Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, and what happened when she encountered them, and how that began the basis of a wonderful new friendship. So we have eye smart and illustration, we have people smart and illustration and special effect, and we have self smart and illustration and special effect. And we're going to start it out with eye smart. So take it away, David.
Okay, we're starting with the travelogue section in verses 11 and 12. And there are several name places here that are laid out for us. And it's really just a mess if you're not aware of where these things are. And I certainly wasn't. So for heaven's sake, let's get a map for your folks and help them out to be able to see the space that we're talking about. It's the area around the northern coast of the Aegean Sea, around Greece, between Greece and Turkey. And so give them a hand here. There are lots of maps on the interwebs here, and we've got a link to one that you
or
can use.
If you're the church that has those old flip maps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can just
you
do
have
that.
Those in your basement somewhere.
But so use your flip maps or put something in the bulletin or display it up on the screen. Now, they end up traveling about 150 miles roughly.
That's a lot.
From Troas to Philippi. Which is a pretty good trip, and they went by boat and land. So, we'll come back and think about that in a little bit too. But there you go. So that's help them out to know where you're going.
For people smart, we're looking at the phrase. It's kind of a throwaway line when they get to Macedonia, to Philippi, and they get to where they're going. They presumably get unpacked and get themselves oriented, and then the line is, "They went to where we supposed there was a place of prayer," and that just got me to thinking, "Huh, what would this place be a common meeting place where they supposed there was a place of prayer?" A specific area that is designated for worship. Keeping in mind they were in a Roman colony, and it's likely that there was no specific place for them to gather officially as Jewish people looking to worship. So that just kind of caught my attention. What would this specific place be, this place of prayer, look like for them?
Going to the mall?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Going to the bank?
Exactly. So discuss with your, this is for the special effect now, discuss with your, have your people break up and discuss. If you were in a brand new place, if you went on this, you know, this trip, what's the first familiar thing that you would seek? What's the first thing you would look for and why? And if you were looking to find people that you understood you were supposed to meet, where would you go? Would you look for a place of prayer? Would you look for a place of commerce? Would you look for a place where you could get a bite to eat? And why? Make a list, even. What are some of the places that you would go to find people?
For Self-Smart, we're looking at Paul's vision and visions in general. So visions in Scripture are generally used to inspire people to action or to correct a course of action, to communicate a promise. Those are sometimes they're prophetic too, and calling people to or giving folks a mission. So sometimes they're direct, and sometimes they need some interpretation. Sometimes they happen during sleep, but it's not quite a dream. It's
a lot
something
more specific, yeah.
Something very, more very than particular. A regular dream, so mm-hmm. that people are aware that it's not.
Sometimes it sticks with them when they wake up,
right? Yeah. And sometimes it happens while they're awake. But again, it happens to be more intense or something that they recognize this isn't normal
reality,
real
yeah,
space.
Something else is happening.
So give your folks some idea of that background before we move into the special effect part, which is asking them about their own experiences and to connect with their own experiences of having a vision. For some folks, that's going to be kind of, you know, the idea of having visions is kind of oogly googly, touchy feely,
or weird, scary,
or you know, does that mean that you're crazy if you're having visions? Mm-hmm. You know, so it can be scary.
That's what our culture would say,
right? And clearly in Scripture, it's none of those things. It's mm-hmm.
it's
the presence of
communication
God.
From God.
Mm-hmm. So to help us become a little bit more attuned to how God may be trying to speak to us and mapping that out in our own lives. There may be some ways that folks have experienced, if not that kind of intense vision, and some of your folks probably have had that sort of intense experience, but maybe in smaller or broader ways, people have had those sorts of things. A clear idea that came from they know not where, mm-hmm. perhaps, or a growing feeling of urgency about doing a particular thing, a sense of call to do mm-hmm. a thing, maybe just a gut feeling. So just invite them to explore that in various and sundry ways. Then going back to our map, thinking about the distance that Paul traveled with his companions in order to share the gospel, invite your folks to think about how far would you be willing to travel to share the gospel with someone you didn't even know? Mm-hmm. Or how far would you be willing to share it with someone you do know?
Or even how far have you traveled?
Yeah.
Some people may have already gone on mission trips or things like that.
Indeed. And then one more is the phrase that the Lord opened her heart, talking about Lydia. And that's lovely fodder for some Self-Smart. So what would it be like for the Lord to open your heart? And what in your heart needs to be opened by the Lord? And what sort of things do you have in your heart that you want to keep closed, and why? So lots of interesting things to connect with there. Okay, let's move on. The second reading for Year C, Easter 6, is Revelation 21, verses 10, and then 22 through 22:5. Here's a bit of John's vision of the holy city, the new Jerusalem that God has brought down from heaven. There's no temple. There's no need for light or lamp or sun or moon because the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple. The Lord God and the Lamb are its light. And the glory of the nations will be brought into it, and nothing bad or evil or abominations or anything will be allowed in. And then there's the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb, and the tree of life that lines the river on both sides and brings forth 12 kinds of fruit all the time, or at least there's fruit in every season, and that the leaves are for the healing of the nations, and the Lord's people will serve and worship him and see the face of the Lord, and his name will be on their foreheads, and it's going to be awesome. So we have lots of awesome things because there's a lot of awesome imagery here. So
is it awesome, David?
It is so awesome.
Wasn't sure about that.
So we've got something for everybody here. We've got Word Smart illustration, Eye Smart, both Math Smart illustration, Body Smart illustration, Music illustration, Nature illustration, People both, and Self both.
Okay. For Word Smart, it kind of caught me. My attention was the phrase forever and ever, and I thought, oh, well, what's that look like in Greek? We went and we looked at the phrase forever and ever, which can be translated also as to the ages of the ages. It's kind of evocative. Looking at the translation for the word leaves, which is derived from a word that can also be translated as tribe or clan. Xylon, tree. Zoe, life. And carpon, fruit. And go take a look at those and see what the original Greek, how they can also be translated.
A couple of the others that you found there.
Well, okay.
That's cool.
Xylon, tree. This translated as tree, but can it also be translated as wood or cross? Zoe is more than bios. Bios is just, you know, living, breathing, moving about. Zoe is a quality and an abundance of life and a
spiritual life.
Spiritual life, yeah. Well, and which also inhabits the body. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Life plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And carpon is translated as fruit, but it can also be translated as action or deed. So look at those particular definitions for those particular words and reread the passage with those words as the translation and see what happens. It's fascinating. Cool. So let's move on to iSmart.
Okay. There's no sun or moon or anything else, lamp or light in the city, because God is the lamp or God is the light.
God is the light. And
the lamb is the lamp.
Yes.
So reminded me of our poor departed puppy, and we would take him for walks, and because of our weird schedules, we would sometimes do that late at night when it was quite dark. And so on some nights we needed flashlights for that, but on the nights when there was lots of moon, we did not need a lamp or a flashlight. We could walk by the light of the moon.
Especially if there was snow on the ground, because then that reflected.
All the more,
yeah.
Exactly. And so in the New Jerusalem, it's going to be that only more so. That
It'll be like daylight.
It'll be like daylight, only it'll be only more so, because it'll be we won't even need the sun to walk by because of the light of God. So as a special effect, and this is sort of iSmart and maybe a little bit of body as well, you could set up a small obstacle course in the sanctuary. Nothing too vigorous,
chairs.
A couple chairs to navigate between or something, and invite a volunteer to do a trust walk through your obstacle course where that person gets blindfolded, and then you lead them through either with a gentle touch or just by
words.
And then do it a second time, either with that same volunteer or another one without the blindfold, and guide them through again. And it's like, zip, 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 zip.
Barely even need your instructions.
Right.
If at all.
And again, the idea would be that that's like the difference between this world and the new world in the New Jerusalem, where we will be able to see by the light of God rather than our usual means.
For MathSmart, we're looking at verse 25, speaking of the city. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. We don't live in cities that have gates that shut, but there used to be the way you kept people safe at night. The sun would go down, you'd close the gates, and people who were in, people who were out, and never the twain shall meet until the sun came back up again. But looking at that in math terms, the gates only close when the sun goes down. But there's no sun. So
Nevertheless.
David said it's kind of like a sign on a sheet store, the gas station sheet store. The hours of operation open 24 hours, 7 days a week. So the hours of operation for a sheets is all of them.
All of them.
So
another way of expressing this with math would be by a graph, and I chose a parabola. So the formula for a parabola is y equals ax squared plus bx plus c, generally speaking. So I picked y equals x squared plus x plus 24. Now, what the 24 does is it lifts that parabola, and the curve of a parabola is an upturned cup kind of thing.
Looks like a tulip.
Yeah. And so that would be resting on the horizontal axis ordinarily.
Right there at zero.
At zero. But the plus 24, and I picked that for the hours
24
of the day,
hours.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you, what that 24 does is it lifts the bottom of the parabola up 24 points.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be then like saying, we'll close the gates when the value on the parabola is zero, because it will never reach zero. It's going to be up there at 24, and that's the lowest point, and it goes up from there. So if it reaches zero, we'll close the gates.
Never going to close the gates, which is an interesting idea or an interesting thought that the gates are never going to close.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, we'll have the graph in the show notes.
So body smart. The name of God written on the forehead of the people. The name is the character of God. God's character is found in God's name. Who shall I say is sending me? I am that I am. So that is God's character. And having that character written on the forehead is essentially having God's character written into the consciousness of God's people. Because the forehead isn't necessarily the physical spot on your noggin, but it's what is consciously foremost inside your head. And if we're looking at it in terms of brain function or brain mapping, it's the frontal lobes. Specifically the prefrontal cortex, which is where
plans and decision-making and
cognitive capacities are taking place. Yeah. Alexander McLaren, who is a Baptist pastor who died in 1910, but whose work is on the internet, strange that, said the term is heart and mind. The name is on the heart and mind of the people. So that's an illustration for body smart. And you can maybe even have people touch their foreheads as you're talking about that.
For Music Smart, we just have three hymns for you. O Holy City, Scene of John. O Lord, You Gave Your Servant John a Vision of a City. And Sleepers Awake, A Voice Astounds Us, but just verse 3 there. It's actually an Advent carol. And
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and the first two verses are about the bridesmaids and their lamps. And the bridegroom coming soon, mm-hmm. and have your lamps ready. But the third verse is, okay, we're going into the city where you don't need your lamps anymore.
Ta-da.
And it's this this city. So so there you go. You can make use of those.
So for Nature Smart, we're looking at a variety of different verses and a variety of different things. We're looking at the water being bright as crystal. It's unclouded with sediment or other organic matter that allows light to penetrate all the way into it. This water is
like the waters of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Or Rocky Mountain Springs.
Yeah.
So the water in this new city is pure and it's clean. And this was really important in the cultic worship of God because the people needed to be clean. They needed to be fresh and new and smelling good when they came in front of God without impurity.
The 12 fruits that are coming in their season and every season of the year are from the trees that are rooted in the river, and the fruit in every season is evocative of the bounty of the Messianic age and the abundance there, and that it's harvest, and that it's always harvest. And for Israel, harvest time meant festivals. Have a party because
eat.
Here's the harvest. So it's always party time because it's always harvest time, never planting time, never work time. At least not in the fields. Mm-hmm. It's a city, after all, so you might have to work at the shop. But
right.
But no planting.
Right.
The tree of life is next to this river of life, river of the water of life. And Jerusalem itself, the current Jerusalem, is in a very dry place. It's very arid, and there ain't no river there.
Mm-mm.
So the prophetic imagery throughout the scriptures points to the abundance of God and the providence of God in the future, that
God will bring water
so they'll never have to worry about the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going on here. And then the other reference, again, going back to there being no night, we've got an image or two for you in the show notes of the midnight sun in the Arctic region where the sun never sets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sun will never set in the New Jerusalem because there won't be sun.
Right.
But
That's kind of a way, sort of gives you an idea.
It's a way into it.
Yeah. For people smart, we're looking at the phrase, God's servants will worship him, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And again, going back to the thing about the name being on the forehead, this goes back to the cultic practice of the high priest. The high priest was the official representative of the nation. In the Holy of Holies inside the tabernacle or the temple, he stood before God as the embodied and personified Israel. For the purposes of worship, Israel was the high priest. The high priest was Israel. And so on his forehead, so not necessarily to distinguish him from the other people, but to include all of the people in his own consecration, there was a golden plate with the motto, Holiness to the Lord.
And that's coming from McLaren again, wasn't it?
Yes, that is coming from McLaren again, yeah. And so for a special effect for this, in this particular vision that John has, he's seeing all of the people in this new city serving God by praising God. He's also seeing all of these people praising God by serving God. So it's kind of a continual awareness. So like the continual feast, the continual harvest, there's a continual sense of praising and serving God. They're all continually aware of God's presence and whose they are. So maybe what you can do with your folks at this point in time for a special effect is having all of these visions or these ideas of continual presence, continual belonging, discuss among groups how this vision might be realized. And can it be realized?
Apart from God doing, you know, discontinuity.
Right, exactly. Yeah. God bringing it to earth. Yeah, of course it can be done. Can it be done before God brings it to earth?
Can we practice for it?
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Yeah. Can we work toward that? Yeah.
Do a run through.
Exactly.
Another thing to bring out the name of God on your forehead would be the ancient practice of anointing. And not every tradition does this, but it is an ancient Christian tradition. And that would be to use oil, usually olive oil, but it could be some other form of oil. And it's called chrism, which is the same root as Christ, and it all means anointed. And so often that's connected with baptism, but also with healing or ordination or the coronation of monarchs. And so you might think about doing a reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant by anointing people's foreheads with oil to mark them with the sign of the cross.
And reminding them who they belong to.
Yeah.
For self-smart, final one, the idea of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. So in the fullness of time, union with God happens when God comes to us rather than us being taken up into the clouds. God comes down. So keep that as an illustration, the idea of God coming to us.
You mean not a rapture?
No.
Not being plucked up out of?
That is not in Revelation at all, anywhere. So talk about that God's coming to us. What you could do for a special effect in looking at that is in the coming week, give your congregation the homework to look for ways they see God coming to us. We trust it's happened in the incarnation, and we trust that it continues to happen in the power of the Spirit since Pentecost. But have them look specifically for it. Where do they see God coming to us?
Okay, let's go on.
The gospel lesson for year C, Easter 6, is John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. This is the beginning of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. He tells them that those who love him will keep his word, and God the Father will love that person and will come and make their home with them. He says that he's telling them these things while he's still with them, but he's going to be sending the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who God will send in his name to teach everything and remind them of all that he has said. And then he gives them his peace, tells them not to let their hearts be troubled, don't let them be afraid, and continues on. And then, you know, the rest of it's, you know, two more chapters of the farewell discourse. So we have words, word smart, we have an illustration. We have a special effect. Math, we have an illustration. People, we have illustration and special effect. And self, we have illustration and special effect. For Word Smart, we're doing like we did with the other passage, with looking at the Greek for a particular word. I looked at the Greek for advocate, which is parakletos, which can properly or in another way be defined as a legal advocate representation, essentially. Someone who makes a right judgment call because that person is close enough to the situation to be able to understand what's going on and be able to help out. So essentially, Jesus is saying to us, I'm sending you a representation. So for an illustration, you might want to compare this with the disciples being Jesus' emissaries. And then we are also to be advocates because we're close to situations. So we also are representatives.
For iSmart, we have a special effect. There's a lot of motion going on in this passage, a lot of coming and going and being sent and receiving. So to get people's blood flowing a little bit and to engage them in that spatial relations of moving, invite them to stand up or sit down every time one of these motion words is used, come, go, send, leave, and so on. And we've got it in the worksheet here. We've got them set in bold.
So you can
see
that.
But you can figure that out too. But just do my Bonnie lies over the ocean with them, basically, except with John 14. For Math Smart, just a quick illustration. We're coming into the season of final exams, and many students have relied on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit during exams to remind them of all that they have been taught. And in this passage, Jesus says, I'll send you the Holy Spirit to remind you of all the things I've taught you. But while that may not be the best academic strategy, as a professor friend of ours says, pray to God, but row toward shore. Nevertheless, the idea here is to give us the assurance that the Holy Spirit will call to mind all the things that we are supposed to be holding on to anyway, that Jesus has taught us, to so that we'll be strong enough to make it through those trials and tribulations and final exams.
For PeopleSmart, we're looking at verses 23 and 24. Those who love me will keep my word, and we will come and make our home with them. Looking at the those who love you will keep your word. And it got me to thinking, how do you keep someone else's word? Aren't we supposed to keep our own word? Isn't our own word supposed to be our bond? So I got thinking about that a little more, and I thought, well, maybe keeping someone else's word suggests a couple of things. One is that you're that person's emissary. You are that person's representative. And two, you know that person so well, you can act as that person's representative, their stand-in, even to the extent of the promises that they make. So have your congregation think of these, maybe share, break into groups and share the answers to these questions. Whose word have you kept? And what kind of relationship did you have with that person? Jesus' word to his disciples is that they are to love one another. So how do we show we love Jesus and God? By loving one another. And how is that love expressed in our congregation? It's kind of a continuation of the assignment we had for last week and the, you know, break into groups and make the list. Right. Maybe just repeat that or say, how have you seen it play out this week?
Yeah, that's good.
And then making our home with them. The whole entirety of the Gospel of John is this idea of the holy incarnate God tabernacling with the people. The home is a tabernacle, a tent. It's a movable dwelling, a home that picks up and moves. Illustrate that, and then for the special effect for that particular illustration, have people think about this. God lives with humanity, and God is mobile. So how then do we comprehend God in the world around us? Where do we find God? Where do we see God? Where do we worship God? A God that's mobile.
God lives in a mobile home?
Yeah. Hmm. Watch out for those.
Watch out for the tornadoes.
Tornadoes.
For Self-Smart, we're looking at that idea again of keeping Jesus' word and how that works in John's gospel, and connecting it too with the Revelation passage of the forehead, mm-hmm. Keeping the name and the character and the intention of God on foremost on our minds, that maybe keeping the word means internalizing that teaching. So for John, in his prologue, he talks about the Word becoming flesh. And here, Jesus is kind of directing his disciples, if we understand this correctly, that Jesus' Word can dwell in our flesh, that we hold on to his Word, that we keep his Word. The Logos that John refers to in the prologue can be understood as the underlying architecture of the whole cosmos. And so Jesus' word, with a small w, is that underlying architecture of the life of those who love him. So it's big word, big logo scaled down to our lives, which is kind of cool. The last part here then is for a special effect with verse 27, the peace giving, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. This seems like a good place for another one of those breathing experiences, and so it's got some body smart connection. But invite folks to do one of those breathing exercises and to breathe in the peace of Christ that he is leaving for us, and to let go of the things of the world that are separating us from that peace, so that we can all experience a deeper sense of that gift that Christ is giving to us. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you've tried any of these ideas or suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you like even better than ours, let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to know about how using this theory of multiple intelligences has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so you can see some of the ideas that don't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful or give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or you can point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can also find us on the iTunes store, too. If you leave us a review, it'll help people find us better. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.